Blog Talk Radio. Legislate what you say to your doctor. and what you do in your doctor's office. That's a private matter between you and your husband or and your family. Because no one knows your business but you and God. And, you know, but we get so caught up in trying to be God on this earth when there's only one. So Job is, you know, kind of getting his friends back in order. Because, you know, they got a little nasty on yesterday. And I'm going to go back and read what his friend Belladad said after we go to our prayer book. And for our daily prayer for today. And I'm just so excited. You know, this month is flying by. Can't believe today is the 17th of the month. And it says this, with help, I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. You know how, what was it, Mitha Bakers, I think is what the name of the movie was, with Ben Stiller and Robert De Niro. And Robert De Niro was his ex-CIA agent whose daughter had married this young man who was Ben Stiller. And he had he was like doing spy stuff, and he put his two fingers at his eyes and said, I got my eye on you. You know, and that became a cliche. It became, you know, something in the vernacular that we use when we're looking at people, and we'll just say, I got my eye on you. And that is what it's in the song. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. We got to understand that God always has his eyes. He always is watching. He always is listening. He is always documenting everything about us. He loves us like that, and he wants the best for us. We got to learn how to say, thank you, Lord. And says, Counselor, you are the one I turn to when I am not sure which path to take. You are faithful in instruction, always offering your wisdom when I ask. Your word is full of your simple approach to life. Though not easy, your plan always yields the fruit of your kingdom. Above all else, I want to be found in you. You are indescribably good. You see the choices before me and give me the wisdom I need to choose the way that aligns most with who you are and who you call me to be. I don't have to bear that. You know, I don't have to fear that you will misdirect me. You don't withhold advice when I, so with faith, I believe I will have the assurance I need to move forward in wisdom and peace. I'm so grateful that my path is not set in concrete. There is so much more grace available than I anticipate. I take hope in knowing every success and every failure is an opportunity to find you in the middle of it. You never give up, so neither will I. And the question for today is, what do you need direction for right now? What do you need direction for right now? And that's just a prayer to think on as we open up this morning. Father God in heaven, we come to you excited about your word, God. We come to you expecting and knowing that everything works for good, God, because you said so in your word. You also said you will never leave us or forsake us. God, we trust in your word completely, knowing that there is nothing like you. No one has ever been created like you. God, you are our absolute. You are everything. You are our Father. You are our Savior. Because Jesus and you are one. Your son you sent to this awful planet to take all of our sins away that we may be a better place. Lord God, we ask you to remove the stain of hatred, slavery, and bigotry from our nations, God. For you are holy and thus we should be holy because we are a part of you. So God, remove anything that is not like you from my heart, from my mind, from my spirit. Forgive me, Lord, for anything I may have done or said in thought, in word, or in deed against your divine majesty. Father God, I lift up this mighty word this morning that it may touch someone's heart, someone's mind, someone's spirit, that if they do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they will ask, what must I do to be saved? Confess him with their mouth, God. May they confess Jesus with their mouth. May they say who he is, that he is the Son of God, that he died for our awful sinful sin, that he was dead for 3 days, and on the third day he arose from the dead, and that he ascended into heaven, and that he sits on your right hand, Father God, interceding and covering us with his blood. And it's by his stripes we are healed from our sins and iniquity. Father God, as this word goes forth, I ask you, as I do every day, Father, please increase as I decrease, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are my strength and you are my redeemer. And it's in the name of the Master Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray this prayer, trusting and believing in you, that this word will not go out void. Amen. Thanking God again for another day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and I raise my hand, rejoicing and glad in it. I am so grateful that I was able to go to revival on last night. Oh my God, the prophetic word given to me, and I accept that word. God will make a way out of no way. God will take us where we need to go. I'm grateful that God spoke through a prophet into my ear. He spoke a prophetic word also to my pastor. And all I can say is, God will get the glory and things will happen in his time. Praising God this morning. Praising God this morning. I'm still filled up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Evangelist Dorothy Hagler, for coming. And for those that are in Springfield or surrounding areas that listen in, our prophetess, Evangelist Dorothy Hagler, will be at Table of Life Ministries this evening at 2600 South 5th Street for revival. Please come and join us. We will start at 6:30. The revival will start at 7. Please come. Please, 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 please come and watch a move of God in your life. Yes, last night she preached a word that we've read numerous times. Lot and his wife, don't look back. We got to start moving forward, family. We can't keep looking back over what was, what we wished could have been, would have, should have, could have. We got to move forward. So thank you, Dr. Hagler. Thank you, Pastor Jesse. Thank you, all of you, for listening. Let's get into our word this morning. And again, we are coming out of the book of Job, starting at chapter 25. And it says this, and Beldad, the Shuhite, answered and said, dominion and fear belong to him, meaning God. He makes peace in his high places. Is there any number to his armies? Upon whom does his light not rise? Can man be righteous before God? How can he be pure who is born of a woman? If even the moon does not shine, and the stars are not pure in his light, how much less man who is a maggot and a son of man who is a worm? Ooh. Wow. That's a friend. Okay. Now let's see what Job says. Because, you know, one thing about Job, he didn't play. Job would tell you what he was thinking, what he was feeling, and he was in pain, So he didn't give a care. He didn't care if he hurt your feelings. He didn't care if you was feeling some kind of way. He did not care because he was feeling pretty awful. You think about how you would feel if you were covered in boils from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. How would you feel if you looked down and a worm is crawling out of a sore in your arm because you got that big, nasty, icky boil? And then think about the flies are flying on you and leaving the egg, and you might have maggots coming out of you. It's just gross. You know, you can go septic, but we already know that he's not going to go. That's not going to happen because he can't die. God already told Satan, you can do anything you want, but you can't kill him. So we know Job's not going to die. But you think about all that pain. You know, I never had shingles, but my father-in-law did, and someone that I met had them, and they still got little scars from it because, you know, it's like chicken pox, but it's on the inside of your skin and not on the outside. So that pain is horrid, you know, and think about how Job was feeling. The pain was horrid. He could not sit. He could not move. You know, he just sat there in the ashes, you know, just nasty, dirty, filled with ew. And just imagine he had been the richest man with everything, children, land, all the stuff you can imagine. And now he's just this glob of skin and bones and icky, yucky skin. Ugh. You know, so just imagine how you would feel if you were in that position. And folks are trying to tell you, well, you must have sinned. You must have did this. You must have did that. Instead of saying, what can I do? Can I put some cream on you? Can I get you some water? Can I get you some food? What can I do to help you? No, we said in that prayer, go criticize. Well, you know you did such and such. You must have done this, that, or the other. And so Job is defending himself. And Job says, but Job answered and said, how have you helped him who is without power? How have you saved the arm that has no strength? How have you counseled one who has no wisdom? And how have you declared sound advice to many? To whom have you uttered words and whose spirit came from you? The dead tremble, those under the waters and those inhabiting them. Shaul is naked before him, and destruction has no covering. He stretches out the north over empty space. He hangs the earth on nothing. He binds up the water in his thick clouds, yet the clouds are not broken under it. He covers the face of his throne and spreads his clouds over it. He drew a circular horizon on the face of the waters at the boundary of light and darkness. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his rebuke. He stirs up the sea with his power, and by his understanding, he breaks up the storms. By his spirit, he adorned the heavens. His hand pierced the flaming serpent. Indeed, these are the mere edges of his ways. And how small a whisper we hear of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? Ooh, what a word, power, who can understand? And as we go to the life lessons from Job, and for those that are just joining this moving forward experience, this is a blog of Bible reading. I read the Word of God. My co-host will be coming back in September, Mother Valerie Bell. And what we do is we read the Word of God. And I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principle, Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. And the commentary is from Dr. Stanley. And he makes the Word come alive. I absolutely love this Bible, and I will tell anyone who studies the Bible, get this Bible for your biblical arsenal. It will help you to preach. It will help you to understand. Dr. Stanley had 90-plus years of wisdom and understanding from God. And I just want to say, God rest his soul, and thank you thank you, thank you, thank you, Dr. Stanley, for this wonderful word of advice and devotion. So definitely get this Bible if you can. It is well worth the time to just go in and read. It gives you the day. You know, today we're in August 17th. You know, we had to go back and cover some other days over the course of these last 3 days because Blog Talk Radio, as many know, was without service on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. So I came back on yesterday on Blog Talk, but I do have a conference number that those that listen regularly and call in that we were on. So I thank you all again for coming back and joining us for Bible study. It is important that we learn and study God's word. This is a weapon of choice. This is a sword that we must gird on every day. Thank God. And the word that Dr. Stanley gives us is a scripture and our title for this morning. He hangs the earth on nothing. Who but God could take nothing and hang the world on it? Who but God could take the nothing of a destitute widow and pay her bills with it? See, W. King 4:1-7. And we know that when a prophet comes and he say, go get some oil, you better go get that oil, because I'm going to tell you something. He can make it. He can say, okay, no, baby, you're not going to lose your baby. You're not going to lose anything. I got you. And, you know, and I'm sorry, I just got to go really quick to 17. You know, this story does something to me, because as a widow with sons, I understand, you know, when you feeling like, you know, God has left you, and all you got is this little bitty bottle of oil. And what did he say? And there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets, who Elisha said, saying, my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take up unto him my two sons, and to be bondmen. And Elisha, because you know Elisha's like, hey, I'm gonna follow you wherever you go. You know, I'm doing this thing. You know, he loved God, and he didn't play either. Elijah didn't play. Elisha didn't play. And it goes on to say, he said, thy handmaid had not anything in the house but a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow these vessels, a vessel of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon the sons, and shall pour out into all these vessels, and thou is ruled. And I'm going to tell you, if she had kept bringing vessels in, she would have kept getting more oil. God gives you what you need and what you have. You know, as you look around, you think, huh, I can sell that. I can get rid of that. Huh, I can consign that. We need to start looking at what we have and watch God work. When you start to downsize, start thinking about what you can get rid of. God knows everything, and he knows that you already have what you need. You just got to do the work and get rid of it. You know, and I love it. Says, what could he do with your nothing? I don't know what God can do with my nothing, but I am looking forward to finding out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And as we go into the word, it says, the power of his way. It says, the greatest forces in nature give nothing but the tiniest hint of God's immeasurable power. That was Job's message to his friends when he said he hangs the earth on nothing. Pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his rebuke. He stares up the sea with his power. By his spirit he adorned the heavens. Indeed, these are the mere edges of his ways. And how small a whisper we hear of him. So 26:7, 11 through 14. The amazing thing is that God makes all that abundant power available to us through prayer. Where's that word? Prayer. You know, my pastor asked for us to come to prayer. Even if you can't come for the whole hour, come to some part of prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes your life. I'm grateful to God that he answers prayer, even the little, tiniest prayer. Like I said, my grandson was with me for the last couple of days, and he thought he had lost his little, he had a little dinosaur. He loves dinosaurs and all of these things. One day I think he's going to be a paleontologist, but he loves dinosaurs. And he had this little dinosaur, and it fit just perfectly in the door of the car. And so his car seat was in, and I don't know what he had done with it, but I believe he brought it in the house and forgot it. But we looked all over the car trying to find this dinosaur, and we couldn't find it. And so I read in this book, Mommy Teach Me to Pray, by Dr. Clarissa Williams. Hint, hint, if you have grandchildren, it is, our children, it is a great book to have. And it tells the story of Jamal, who wanted a red bike. And his mom said, well, you got to pray for it. And so he prayed, but he only had $20 on the bike for $70. But for his birthday, this bike showed up, and he said, Mommy, Mommy, God answered my prayer. And then, you know, but as the story, he goes on to help somebody with the bike that he was given. And so my grandson, I said, oh, after he looked all over, he couldn't find this little dinosaur. I said, Lord, we got to find that dinosaur, so help me on tomorrow to find this dinosaur. I'll find it for him, God. And so he came running in the next morning. I found it. I said, what did you find? He says, I found my dinosaur. I said, God answers prayer. He said, but I didn't pray for it. I said, but I did. And he just smiled. He said, God answers prayer. I said, God does answer prayer. All we have to do is believe. And so even children can see the amazing things of God. So the amazing thing is that God makes all that abundant power available to us through prayer. The mighty hand that created the heavens is available to you as you kneel before him and put your trust in him. What is it that burdens your heart today? Is it some depressed, desperate need or long unfulfilled desire? Is the session filled with concern over the welfare of another? Is there some obstacle that blocks your path or some challenge you don't have the strength for? Do not despair. The one who is able to shake the heavens and stir the seas is able to help you. Ephesians 1:19-20 admonishes you to embrace the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. In other words, what God offers you is the same amazing strength, wisdom, and love that accomplished the resurrection of Christ from the dead and that raised him to his throne in heaven. Really, is there anything that you could face that needs more power than that? Honestly, say, no. There's nothing greater than God. No matter what you're worried about, one thing is for sure, you can't possibly know the extraordinary manner by which God is going to work it all out. So pray to him and express your trust in his magnificent ways. There may be much that you don't understand about how he's going to help you, but you can be sure he will. And when he does, it will shake your world for good. Can I put my hands up? And Lord, I come expecting. I come expecting. I don't know what God has planned for me, but I know that it's going to be great. I feel it. And they say, I feel it in the atmosphere. God is about to do something in my life, and it is to help and not to harm. I'm believing God for great things. Job 26:14, these are the mere edges of his ways. Though we can know God intimately, we can only know him in part because he is so limitless and we are so limited. In fact, even the whole story of what Jesus did on earth has not been told. John 21:25 says, there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. The point is, though we know the important things about God, his love, character, and salvation, we should never be so arrogant as to declare that we have exhaustive knowledge about him. Please. God can't be put into a box, and neither can our mind hope to hold it. Thank you, Dr. Sam. We got to understand who we belong to and that nobody. I searched high and low, still couldn't find nobody greater than you. We can never find anything or anyone greater than God. Praise the Lord, somebody. Psalm 96:11-13. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. I added a word, so take that whole out. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. We can't add to the word of God. We can't take away. God is good. And when we get to our proverb this morning, it's Proverbs chapter 23, verses 10 through 12. And it says, do not remove the ancient landmark, nor enter the fields fatherless. For the Redeemer is mighty. He will plead the cause against you. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. Don't mess with God's children. And he told you, for their Redeemer is mighty. Don't mess with the fatherless. Those children that have lost their parents are parents. Don't mess with them. But they are special to God. And he is the Father. He has taken the place. He is the Heavenly Father, biological father, God Father, stepfather. You know, he is all them fathers all combined. And he is going to watch over his kids. I know my daddy God got me covered. I know because he's been there for me too many times. How many times could I have been dead and in my grave from 7 years old to 62? He was there. Come on now. Got hit by a car. Could have easily died at 7. A disobedient child at that. Straight to hell, I would have gone with my little self because I was doing what I knew was wrong. Going across the street, I wasn't supposed to go to. Buying something, I was buying my pickle because I'm getting me a pickle. They don't have pickles over here, and I want a pickle. I'm going to get my pickle. Yeah, I got that pickle and got hit by a car and have pain today to remind me of disobedience. I try not to be. But I'm not perfect. But I tell you this, when that pain hits my leg, even to this day, I understand, okay, God, when that pain hits my arm all the way to my pinky toe, I know that I'm, okay, I can't do that. That's not a God. I can't go there. God has already put a warning in me. That pain is a warning to me. Uh-uh. Nope, don't do that. And I'm like, okay, God. We got to understand that God gives us reminders of our disobedience. Slid on ice. I went over an embankment and winded up with my car on its side. I couldn't get out. The only thing that saved me was the car electrical system didn't go out and the car was on and I was able to open the sunroof. And I was able, with help of the paramedics, and fire department to climb out of the top of the car because I couldn't get out either side. So I tell you, God will make a way out of no way. And I walked out of that accident without a scratch. I was sliding, and all I knew was I was going airborne, and the only thing I could say was Jesus. And I felt arms around me, holding me in place. Don't tell me that God is not with us. I'm grateful. And this is what Dr. Stanley tells us in his word. He says in Proverbs 23:11, their Redeemer is mighty. He will plead their cause against you. I'm talking about the fatherless. And he says in ancient times, there were none more helpless than the orphans and widows. However, because they were often powerless and vulnerable, God pledged himself to be their Redeemer and Defender. Thank you, God. Those who took advantage of them because they seemed to be easy targets soon discovered that the Lord God himself was their protector. I lift my hands for being my protector, for being the protector of my children. Thank you. Tell God thank you this morning. Tell God, I appreciate you. I appreciate my blessings. All I can say is I'm filled up. I'm not looking back. I'm moving forward because God has a plan for my life. He has a plan for your life. All you have to do is trust him. It's time to go to work. And as we go forward, this is in Romans chapter 15. And we will be in Romans 15 and 16. Romans 15, excuse me, this morning. And it says this. We, then, who are strong and ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy as it is written. For this reason, I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again, he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, laud him, all you people. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of death, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall have hope. We've been grafted in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You're grafted in. How now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brothers, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentile obedient in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Iconium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named least I should build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand. For this reason, I also have been much hindered from coming to you, but now no longer having a place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you. Whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. But if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beg you, brothers, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. Then I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. And that is our word this morning. And as we go back to the life lesson from Romans chapter 15 and 2, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. If we are serious about our Christian faith, we must take into consideration how our actions affect others. We cannot grow in faith in isolation from others and in our interactions with others. We should have edification in mind. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing. The normal Christian life is to be characterized by hope, joy, and peace. As we grow in grace, God wants us to experience more and more of each of them. And if they're lacking, something has gone wrong. Ooh, I just feel this word this morning. And as we go to verse 30, strive together with me in prayer to God for me. God loves to answer the faithful prayers of believers that are offered on behalf of other believers. Paul, the great apostle, frequently asked others to pray for him. God wants us praying regularly for each other. If somebody says, "Will you please pray for me?" don't talk about it, just do it. Prayer changes all kind of things. Prayer changes our life. Pray, pray, and pray some more for your brothers and your sisters. Pray and let God lead and let God be the redeemer. And you go back to our proverb words, 23:11, the redeemer is mighty. He will plead their cause against you. You know, we got to watch what we do. You know, we got to take care of the women in our churches that are widows and our children that are orphans. That is our responsibility as men and women of God. We can't talk about it. We have to be about it. It's time for revival. It's time for revival in God today. Are you lifting up your neighbor? Are you lifting up and not tearing down? Keep trusting God and watch him work in your life. Our show is not long today. We are all caught up. Praise the Lord. Tomorrow is Friday, and we will be back in Job Old Testament Friday. And on Sunday, God willing, we'll be in Psalms, Proverbs, and our New Testament words. We are still in the book of Romans. So I thank God for all of you this morning. And before we go, a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning from Carolyn's gift. And the word for today is all that we need. It says, don't let that situation come on now. Sister Carolyn, I do not let her know what I'm going to be reading. I don't call her and say, okay, sis, we're going to be in this word, that word, or whatever, because I don't want to influence what God gives her. And I tell you this, for those that listen regularly, we know whatever is in the spiritual realm, Sister Carolyn is always right on point with whatever our lesson is for that morning. And this morning, there's no exception. Right on point again. Don't let that situation you're experiencing weigh you down. Remember, you can do all things in Christ who strengthens you. Have a thankful Thursday. You know, as we talked about Alicia and the widow, even though it was not our words, but to know that God hung the earth. God is in charge of everything. He loves us. You know, God cares about you. He hangs the earth on nothing. And you can do all kinds of things with Christ who gives you strength. Don't let that situation, whatever it is, whether it's your children not doing right, whether it's financial, whether it's that you just need more food in your house, whatever it is, you need some more clothes because you're starting over. You need furniture because you're doing this. You need a job. Whatever your situation is, trust God. I believe in God. This is my year of Jubilee. And that all debts will be paid. Every bill will be paid. Everything will be done. These are me and in order. Because I trust God. Are you trusting God today to take care of every situation? Keep trusting him and watch him work in your life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let him strengthen you today. And have a thankful Thursday. Thank God that he gave you another day, because somebody did not wake up today. Somebody is not allowed to go forward because they are no longer here. And so I ask you, sons and daughters, pray for our children who are getting killed, not by the police, but by each other. Pray. And pray for more. We've got to help those that don't know God. Keep lifting up the name of Jesus. And remember, who hung the earth with no strength? God did it. He did it. He hung every planet, every universe, everything we could ever imagine. God did it. You look up in the heavens at night and see the stars twinkling. Know that that is a sign of another solar system that God created. God did it. And we are his humble vessels. He created us. Tell God thank you. And never forget who you are and who you belong to. And that is all I have this morning. And again, as Paul ended the word, let us end it after we pray our prayer. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other, in Jesus' name. I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and glorious day. And as Paul would say, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Have a blessed day, family. That's all we have. Please join me tomorrow, God willing, as we are in Job, starting in chapter 27. And we'll be in Job for the duration of tomorrow. So we will be ending at Job chapter 32. So Job chapter 27 through 32 on tomorrow. Job 27 through 32 on tomorrow. So if you'd like to read it, study it, please do. But that's where we will be. So thank you so very much, family. It's a wrap because I got to go to work. And I just want you to know I love and appreciate you. Thank you so much for supporting us, even when Blog Talk is acting ugly. You know, but we know that that was nothing but you know who, trying to keep God's word from going forth. But that's all right. It went forth anyway. We just went forth on a different medium. So I will keep you informed. If we are going to have a call-in for us to just sit down and chit-chat sometime, you never know what God's plans are, because I believe that we're going to be going a little different. I know God didn't give me a conference call number for it. No reason. So I'm believing God for some new things and some great things. So thank you so much. Be blessed. And know you are loved. It's a wrap. Gotta go to work.